it's about access in all school of young people, access to comprehensive sexual education through interactive peer-to-peer approach, which means not only teacher but also another young person who work together in a youth-adult partnership, and they deliver this kind of a training using different interactive approaches and trying to be more participatory process, not only teacher-student, but like a very informal conversation about the changes of the body of the young people, about the access to contraception, about making an informed choice. Because unfortunately, many young people don't have the access to it. And they're still, at the age of 20, they're unaware about the changes in their bodies, how to make informed choices. And that's why we observe unfortunate practices, for example, early child marriages, female genital mutilations, which are still happening today, because young people don't have the choice and the access to understand that this is the right not to do something or to do something. Mm-hmm. So it's about making informed choices at the end of the day.
Is that part of what your network does?
Exactly, yes. Our network is working in 35 countries, and we deliver sexuality education for young people in different settings. Especially we work in very conservative countries, and we try to use the cultural sensitivity and really to make young people understand about their choices and make informed decisions, because it's not about sex. I mean, sex is only a small part of the whole program. It's really about human rights. It's really about choices and really be aware of what you have as a young person in front of you in the future.
How do you link that to epidemics like HIV, AIDS, and maybe sexually transmitted diseases?
Maybe the sexuality education is one of the instruments to overcome the epidemics. I'm personally an example of a person who, because of the access of comprehensive sexuality education, I'm here today and speaking with you. I'm 25 at the moment. 11 years ago, I joined a class on sexuality education in my school, and they changed my life. I started to improve my skills in communication to understand what I want from my life. Then I joined this youth network. Then I did different educations in that field. And later on, I decided that this is what I want to do. And this is what I want to do for other young people from the generation who come after me.
Is it a problem in your region, in the countries that you cover?
The HIV epidemic is low at the moment because of the different international funds. Unfortunately, the international funds are stopped now in my country, in Bulgaria. And I really hope that our government will really be proactive in order to find the new funds. Because, of course, if you don't have the whole program running, the rates will get high. But I think that the issue is not about the HIV in general, but it's about really the lack of information we have at the moment. We're trying to push for access to sexuality education in Bulgaria, and we are on the right track. But unfortunately, other countries in Europe, especially in Eastern Europe and Central Asia, don't have the choice. For example, in Central Asia, my youth network, they are not allowed to use the word condom, for example. And that's why we use healthy lifestyle in order to use the cultural sensitivity of each of the countries and again try to push for the sexuality education in order for young people to have access to it.
The people who are against this kind of awareness raising and this kind of education, what's their argument?
I mean, whenever they hear about sexuality education, they link it with the sexual rights. They link it with LGBT communities and with women's rights. And unfortunately, conservative governments and societies are afraid of this. They're afraid the women's to speak, to be aware of their women's rights, their reproductive rights. They're afraid that the young people to take over the leadership, because this is what sexuality education makes. I mean, it empowers you and turns you into a leader. And they really love to use the term that young people are leaders of tomorrow, but no, we are leaders today. And we are the generation that will implement the Sustainable Development Goals, and they should realize that we should be equally included in the decision-making process. This is very crucial. So there are all these arguments who unfortunately they use against that, and they really go into the basic things about sex, that it promotes sex. No, it doesn't promote sex. It promotes healthy lifestyles, and it allows people to make informed choices, either or not to have sex, when to have sex. Because unfortunately, we have cases where young girls are forced to marry at the age of 15 without knowing that they could say no. But because they don't have access to this kind of training and education, they don't know that they have this right.